everybody. Welcome to Paulistic Behind the Curtain, our weekly opportunity to take a look at theater and the arts in the city of Chicago. And this week, we're taking a look at a good one, Ashland Avenue, playing at the Goodman Theater. And it's got some great stars, including one you're going to recognize because she was Pam in The Office, Jenna Fischer. Here's the interview.
And joining me now is Jenna Fischer, one of the stars of Ashland Avenue at the Goodman Theater. Jenna, I saw this show on opening night. Beck, we're on set right now. Do you remember me sitting right down there in the front row center? Because that's where I was.
I did not see you. I try very hard to really not see the audience if I can help it.
So my waving was not a distraction?
No, it was not.
Okay.
No problem there.
I love it. For folks who have not yet seen the show, tell us a bit about the story of Ashland Avenue.
Oh, well, I just love it. It is about a television shop in Chicago on Ashland Avenue. It's Pete's TV Shop. It's a business that this man, Pete, has had for over 40 years. At one time, he was had a string of stores all over Chicago.
Because that was a thing.
Yeah, 15, 16 TV stores. And he was that guy with the zany commercials and like a local celebrity. Right. He says in the play that he had been in the St. Patrick's Day Parade. He'd thrown out a pitch at a Cubs game. So, but times have changed. And he didn't change with them. And as a result, his business has now shrunk to one single store that is struggling. And throughout this whole journey of his with this store, by his side has been his daughter, Sam. And that's the character that I play. And her mother died when she was very young, so her and her father have been pretty inseparable. And she has grown up in this TV store by his side.
I have to tell you, we're on set. I remember places like this.
Oh, for sure.
Right? I mean, there were places where my cousins worked there and whatever.
Yeah.
I know these TV stores, so it really brought back tons of memories. Now, here's the thing. This show was written by a playwright, a guy named Lee Kirk.
Mm-hmm. And I'm familiar with him.
Yeah. And my understanding is, in fact, he really didn't even have you in mind for this role, so what kind of connection did you have that might have said, I could do this?
Well, Lee Kirk is my husband.
Oh, that would do it.
Yes.
But that's not why that happened.
Well, when he started writing the play, he was really looking to write the story of the Chicago television store, and he didn't even know that there would be a daughter or that she would be in my age range or what the story would be. But as he says it, as the character of Sam took shape, he started to hear me doing the role. And so by the time the play was finished...
Is that because you were reading the script around the house at the time?
I did not read it till it was finished.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so no. When he handed me the script, he said, I did think of you as Sam.
And by the way, it's set in Chicago, among other reasons. Lee spent a lot of time in Chicago. He knows Chicago.
He knows it very well. He went to school here, and then he lived here, and he had a storefront theater here that he ran a little coffee shop with the theater. And I think he's always been sad that he left.
Is that why coffee is such a big deal in this show? There's a lot of coffee going on here.
That is so funny. Coffee is another character in this play. People are offered coffee or drink coffee or refuse coffee constantly. We make coffee on set.
I could smell it down in the front
in
row.
In real time.
Yeah.
Yes.
With a Mr. Coffee.
Mm-hmm. And you need to ask Cheeky Johnson about the coffee making because he had to
I heard he's become an expert in this little skill.
It's very good.
Well, we're going to talk a little more about that. But by the way, so this is about, as you say, a young woman who is, you know, raised in Chicago. She has another dream. We'll get to that. But here's the thing. You weren't raised in Chicago, but you weren't raised very far away. Weren't you born in Fort Wayne?
I was born in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and I was raised in St. Louis, Missouri.
Mm-hmm. So that's why we get a lot of, like, I see your posts and you have a St. Louis baseball thing that you're kind of like.
Yes. Yes. I know. In this play, I have to pick up a Cubs mug. And I'm always afraid that it's going to burn my hand because of the rivalry.
You know, I'm going to make your life easier right now, okay? Because for being with me, I have a behind-the-curtain mug for you.
Oh.
That's my gift. So that is what you can now drink coffee from.
Thank you.
The Cubs are lovely. I live near there, but yes, now we'll have a little homage every night to this interview.
Well, I am a coffee mug collector, too, so this might make its way into my personal collection.
Yeah, I love it.
Yes.
Perfect as well. Enjoy it. Yes, we'll get rid of that. So when we take a look at Sam and her dream, so, and you mentioned Cheeky, and we'll be talking to Cheeky during the show. He plays your husband, Mike.
Yes.
You know, there's something about this show as I watched it. as a Chicagoan, I loved it. I love the Chicago references. I mean, he says all sorts of things that I'm home. But at the same time, this show could have been sent somewhere else, because it's about the characters and it's about their relationships, I think. It's hard to set it elsewhere, but it could.
There are certain cities that have that same sort of like love of their city and identity. I think St. Louis is similar. I think you've got Detroit. You've got places like Milwaukee, Boston, like
a Midwestern sensibility.
Yeah, exactly. And but ultimately, this is a story of people and characters and a journey, and particularly about one man coming to terms with his legacy and what he's leaving behind, and a young woman, not a very young woman, actually realizing that she has not really figured out who she is apart from her father. And she's like 45 now, and it's now or never. And so that's what she's really grappling with, is who is she? What are her dreams and hopes and aspirations? What does she want to contribute? Because so far she's just been by his side making her dad's dreams come true.
And I try not to give things away, but I think it's fair enough to say that Mike and Sam have a dream of leaving Chicago, of going elsewhere. But having said that, it's almost as though Sam wants to leave for a related purpose, but a very different purpose than Mike has in mind. He's got these professional thoughts, and for Sam, this is bigger. There's something deeper going on.
I think that Sam's relationship with her father is so enmeshed and codependent that she has to physically leave the whole city in order for her to hear who she is. So that's why she needs to leave. And so this idea of a career opportunity for her husband somewhere other than Chicago, she is just going to grab onto that for dear life.
How do your Midwestern sensibilities come into play here? I mean, had you been raised in New York City or just somewhere else, Los Angeles, would this have played the same way? Would this have been more of a challenge for you?
I don't know. Because all I know is my toolkit and my experience. So I think that's a hard question. I don't know. I guess I'm not sure. I think more of it for me is the relationship between Sam and her father, and the way they speak to one another feels like a lot of Midwestern families. Yeah. I know.
There's another component here, because we're also going to talk to another one of your colleagues in the show, one of the ensemble members called Cordelia, who plays Jess. Mm-hmm. That's a whole other relationship that hasn't even come up here yet.
Yeah.
But also important, and that one really takes on the time of your father, of Pete, in this show. But mm-hmm. You know what's going on, too. Talk about how that weaves into all of that.
Well, there's a second woman in Pete's life, played by Cordelia Dudney, and Jess. And both of these women are trying to extract themselves from Pete. And it's very hard for them to do so, because he's a very overbearing, charismatic, magnetic person who's very good at manipulating situations in his favor. And so both of these women are trying to leave throughout this play.
For their own reasons.
For their own reasons. And but for my character, Jess leaving makes it even more difficult for me to leave.
The person playing Pete is Fran Guinan, who is a Chicago staple. And I have loved him forever. In many ways, he's ever present. And he truly is, because there's a poster behind him, behind you right now, standing up, yeah, there, which I love, which people can see in the promo for the show as well. Can I just ask you, I'm guessing you didn't know Fran before you came to do this show. And what is it like working with him?
Well, I didn't know him personally, but I had seen him on stage, so I knew him as an actor, and I was very intimidated when I went into the rehearsal room. I was also just in awe. Like, I spent a lot of time just observing him, watching how he processed a character, watching how he moved through different beats, and how he would settle on finally a way to do a scene or a beat. It was like a wonderful kind of masterclass. And I liken him to a close-up magician, because even in the rehearsal room right there with him, I couldn't always ever see the acting. I can't see the acting. He's really...
He transforms.
Yes. Yes.
When you worked with the director, Susan Booth, who's also the artistic director for The Goodman, so we're right at the top level and bringing you in the director, how did the early rehearsal process work? Maybe the book reading and all of the table reading. Did everybody just click?
Yes. And we got on our feet very quickly. But Susan would ask such really interesting and intelligent questions that would lead us down a thought path for our characters or for the play in general. And so I think that that's her gift, is her curiosity. And she would make us curious, deeply curious about these people and their backgrounds and their motivations. So a lot of discussion there, figuring out in particular who is Sam, who are Sam and Mike outside of this shop? Because the play tells us who they are in the shop, but they have a whole life at home that they're wanting to expand on. So we did spend a lot of time talking about that. Who are they when they're not here under Pete's tree?
Only one Pam Beasley related question.
Yes.
And that is, when you do this role, you know, you've got hundreds of people out here. They know your background. The Office, one of the best shows ever. Your character, fantastic. Do you look at that and say, do you embrace it and say, I'm good with that? And yes, I get that. I'm sure people call you Pam on the street. It's got to happen. Do you embrace that? Or when you take on a new role like this, do you look and go, that's behind me. That's it. Pam is not a part of Sam. I will draw a distinction. How does that come into your life?
Well, like I said, you know, an actor's toolkit is their life experience and their imagination. So every character I play can only source from the same place. So it's almost impossible for me not to source maybe things that feel Pam-like in every character. But at the same time, I feel so confident that this person, that this character in this play stands as her own fully formed human being, that I don't think, you know, just because I resemble the same, because I'm me, I resemble Pam.
Look just like her.
Exactly. and that's a little bit of what it's like. It's a little bit like having an identical twin in the world that everyone knows. And so when people yell Pam, I think, oh, yep, sorry, you mean my identical twin. But so I know who they mean, and I know the connection, and I appreciate the connection and the enthusiasm for the show. It's actually a really beautiful community, a beautiful fan community. And I know how the show has touched people's lives, and I'm really grateful for it. And I'm also grateful that that attachment to Pam is bringing people into the theater to see this play. Because I love this work. I think this play says a lot of really beautiful things about family and about small business and about being part of your neighborhood, being part of your community. And so I love that we're getting to do this play for people.
And it says a lot about Chicago.
And a lot about Chicago.
And Jenna Fischer. So I'm just going to say welcome home, because I think that is deserve it in a role like this, and having you here. Honored that you spent some time here with us. We got to take a commercial break, but when I come back, I'm going to talk to some of your co-stars.
Okay.
You can tell me during the break anything secret you want me to know.
All right.
Thank you to Jenna Fischer. We'll be right back after these words. Stay with us. And we are back to Behind the Curtain. I continue with more cast members from Ashland Avenue, an incredible show you need to see at the Goodman Theater by October 19th. Tickets at goodmantheater.org. Theater spelled the proper British way, by the way, T-R-E. Always impressed by that. G.K. Johnson, you play Mike. Now, we spoke with Jenna Fischer, who plays your wife in the show, Sam. And Cordelia Dudney, you play Jess. A different aspect of this story.
Totally.
Let me come to you and ask you, how does Jess enter this picture?
Jess comes in like a wrecking ball. Truly, there's so much brightness and joy in this show. And I wouldn't say Jess brings that in through the door. But she's going through a really rough patch in her life. And in many ways, this shop is her safe space. So it's where she comes to when she needs help, and it's also part of what she needs to escape. So she's got a really interesting storyline.
I never like to give things away on the show, so okay. I let you decide what you want to give away. But what can you tell us? Your connection here is Pete, the owner of the TV shop. What can you tell us about what that relationship is?
Yeah, I think really good friends. almost like a father figure to Jess. Jess used to work at Pete's shop, and she has two little kids, and the father of her children wasn't around, and here is this really friendly man who is funny and engaging and smart and quick and is so welcoming to her. And I think they just became fast friends in her time of need.
GK, your character Mike, I have to tell you that from people who saw it in previews, right, because I was here opening night, but people saw it in previews just said, watch this guy. He just, I'm going to use the phrase, this steals everything, right? Now, that's unfair to say because you're all so incredible in the show, but it is a compliment for you, so I'm going to go ahead and extend it. But tell me about Mike, because I think you're the most important skill you have. Might be making coffee. I'm not sure. And I understand in the real world that might be the case now.
Yeah, well, I did learn how to make coffee for this show because I had never made it before. Mike is a... I think he's a very loving guy who is, you know, trying to make his world. He's an artist. And he's a visual artist. And so he's trying to find his way as well. You know, I think what makes Sam and Mike so good together is that they're both searching. And Mike loves her to death. And he's very... he can be not in tune with what's going on at times. But I think Mike is, he's a good soul. He's a good spirit. And he just wants the best for Sam and also himself and Pete.
And your character, Jess, is dealing with a lot of struggles. Again, not wanting to give anything away, but there's somebody else involved in your life who you can determine whether we ever get to meet this person or not within the show. But it's almost a come out of nowhere moment in the show.
Yeah.
We just think we're gonna hear about it.
Yeah, I don't want to give too much away, but even, you know, it's so interesting to have a character who is such a large part of what my character brings into the space, and yet we never share the stage together. Like, I come in and the father of my children and my children are these three characters that live with me anytime I set foot on this stage, and yet they're never on stage with me. It's really fun to kind of bring these outside characters into the show.
You know, Jen and I talked about the fact that this show is truly a love story to Chicago. But yet, you can watch it in two ways. You can watch it as I did growing up here, and I get the references. You know, I mean, there's so many things that you all talk about. When you meet people after the show, are people really into the Chicago piece of the show? Or if this had been sent in some other really quaint, nice Midwestern town, would this story still work?
I think so. I haven't really spoken to anybody who talked about the love story so much to Chicago, but have really talked about the relationship between themselves and their parents and what it's like to have to step away or break away from your parents and really focus in on your life. And that's what I get a lot of. It's like, well, I had to... There was a similar thing in my family. And so that's what I really get is the family aspect from the audience who came to see the show.
You know, part of what I'm remembering is when I see Pete and he talks about he was on commercials and all of that. And again, growing up, there were carpet salesmen here that you would see on. Some of the stuff still shows up. Carpet salesmen, car dealers, they were like in your home all the time. Did you have anything like that as a kid? Do you connect with those pieces of this show? I know you're too young for it, but...
No, I mean, I grew up in rural Vermont, and I didn't have TV.
Oh.
So I might be an anomaly, because I didn't get to see those kinds of commercials. But I lived in Chicago for 10 years, and on Ashland, there are so many shops. You look in, and you're like, wow, that's been there since the 90s. Yeah. Nothing's changed about that.
We're on set, which is fabulous that we got to do it here. This set is so amazing. I mean, when you first come in and you kind of sit before the show starts and you take everything in,
right.
Kind of thing. But to me, the set is almost, I think it's fair to call this another character in
absolutely,
the show.
Absolutely, absolutely. There's something new on the set. You know, when we started first preview, when we first started doing previews, you would come on set and be like, oh, there's something new. Oh, that's something new. I didn't see that. And it was just the people, the designer of the sets and the people who kept adding things. It's just amazing. It's one of the most fun sets I've been on in a very long time.
And you get to use pieces, certainly the coffee setup, right?
Yes, yes.
A lot of that is going on. But have you taken time, Cordelia, to sort of just study what is around here? And
When I'm on stage, I'm so dialed into my objectives, which is usually leave. Mm-hmm. Talk to Pete, leave. My obstacles are very clear. But, I mean, it's so easy. You walk into the space, you don't have to act. The environment is so clear.
Right.
A couple weeks ago, Will Allen and I, he plays Young Man, we were looking at the set and there was this cobweb on one of those trophies. And we're like, wow, that's so cool that they put a little cobweb on there. They're so detailed. And then we were sitting in the audience and we saw Fran, who plays Pete, going up, and we saw him clock the cobweb and pick it up and toss it away because he clearly thought, like, well, this was actually put there by a spider and not the amazing set.
Fran thought that, or you think Pete thought that?
I think Fran thought that.
Okay.
But it's really amazing. It's such a cool world that we get to be part of.
Yeah, it is. It's so much fun in terms of just watching this. So Lee Kirk, who we now know from the show is Jenna's husband, wrote the show, and originally not even with her in mind, but it all worked out. Out of curiosity, when you have somebody like a Fran Guinan come in, who to me is a Chicago treasure, I mean, he's just acting royalty around here.
Right.
But then you have this dynamic of Jenna Fisher, who comes in, who is just so well-known from The Office. What is it like for you guys to step? Does any of that even influence you? Do you even care? Or is it sort of like, look, I work with other big actors all the time. I'm good.
Well, I would say with Fran, I was in The Crucible with Fran at Steppenwolf a billion years ago. And I was second tree from the right. I loved him then. I thought he was fantastic. And so getting to be on stage with him and actually speak words to him has been a pleasure. I guess with big stars like Jenna, I can be a little nervous depending on what kind of person it is, because they're stars. So
she's not nice.
But when you meet her, it's like, oh, she's just a regular person, and she's just cool. So, you know, she's just fun and lovely and her children are great, and you just fall in love with her really easy. It's been wonderful from the start. It was great.
And I know on Instagram there's lots of pictures of you and the cast, whatever. But have you had a chance? I mean, the process of getting to know everybody for the purpose of getting to know the characters, because you got to get to know Fran as Pete, right? So what has that been like? Has it all been inside a rehearsal room, or do you guys spend time together outside?
Mostly inside the rehearsal room, and I think that's my favorite part about doing live theater is the rehearsal process and the time that you spend with people on your breaks and eating dinner in the green room and all those moments. And even in those moments where you're not actively like acting across from someone, there's so much to learn about how someone approaches their craft. And also just, I love hearing people's stories about, I mean, Fran has so many incredible stories and of his life as an actor, and as does Jenna. It's really fun to just get to witness and kind of absorb.
Talk about the power of the audience in this show, because I kind of made this assumption, maybe because it was me, sitting there having a reaction to just the Chicago thing before I got into the story part. But the effect of the audience, does it change? Is it different on different nights? And how does that impact you?
The audience is always that third and final piece, I feel. I don't usually do comedies, but hearing people laugh, you go, oh, okay, that is funny. You know, we're in the rehearsal room so long, and we're working on stuff, and we're trying to figure out how to put everything together. And when the designers come in, they're coming in and they're looking, but they're looking, okay, how can I make this piece fit? And how do I, you know, they're not really there to laugh. Right. And when you hear them laugh, you go, oh, we actually got somebody. But when you step on stage and that third piece fits there, you go, oh, that is funny. Okay, then I need, sometimes I'll adjust things a little bit in terms of, for example, somebody says something, you hear a big roar, you just have to wait until that roar goes down in order to say your next line. Small things like that. But it's great, it really is. It's great, and I don't really judge the audience. Sometimes they'll come in and it's like every word out of your mouth, you feel like you're Richard Pryor or somebody. And then some days it's like, more than, I guess, it happens a little less than most of the time. They come in and it's a roar of laughter, but every once in a while you get that audience that they're just polite and they're laughing. You go, okay, this is what it is tonight, and I'm going to roll with it, and we're just going to keep the train going.
And finally, Cordelia, just doing this show on the Goodman stage, kind of a feather in one's cap of our performing, I would think.
I mean, this is like this is a dream. I went to Northwestern, and when I was in school, I would come down to the city and see shows at the Goodman, Steppenwolf, and Looking Glass. And I mean, the shows I would see, I'd sit in the audience and think, like, God, it'd be so amazing to like be in a show like that. I mean, the production value, the artists that you get to work with, the cast and the crew, everyone is so like the best of the best at what they do. It's an incredible experience.
Well, this really show grateful. Is the best of the best, and it was just such a treat to watch you guys do your magic on stage, and you are funny.
Yeah.
So let me encourage everybody to check out Ashland Avenue at the Goodman Theater. Tickets at goodmantheater.org, TRE for theater, and you can see it until October 19th because you've had two extensions, and at this point, they got to kick you out. They've got the shows to come in.
All right, well, as you can see, Ashland Avenue is such a great show. It's got humor. It's got nostalgia. It is all about Chicago. In fact, being from WGN, I would say it's kind of like Chicago's very own. You don't want to miss it. It's playing through October 19th. Tickets at goodmantheater.org. Catch it. You'll be sad if you don't. Thanks for watching Behind the Curtain. We'll see you next week.